It seems to be just a little bit of missing information here. So the blood didn't go to your hands and feet. They gave you drugs that...
I was on five pressors just to keep the blood flowing.
What's a presser?
Epinephrine.
You've probably heard of epinephrine. It's a vasopressor. It's designed to raise your blood pressure. Okay. Because her blood pressure is so dangerous, she was going to code. So they're just trying to keep her alive.
Okay. Yeah. And
so they don't worry about my arms and legs because they're trying to, my heart was at 20%. And so it needed all the help it could get.
So they probably suspected that that was going to be the result.
They did.
Most people die when they get sepsis. Mm-hmm. And the sepsis protocols are so advanced now that I think if this would happen to me even maybe 10 years ago, I wouldn't have survived.
Over 50% of the deaths in hospitals historically have been septic shock.
Yeah.
Going into sepsis.
It's infection.
It's an infection that just ravages your body uncontrollably and you have no real defense. But you lose all the flow of blood to your hands and feet because all the blood's kept in your major organs to keep those major organs alive. Yeah. Remember, your heart's only working at 20%, so very little blood's flowing. And hence, it's kind of like having frostbite.
They were black. Wow. By the time I got to Orange County, they were black.
Wow.
So that necrotic tissue.
Was that? I mean, your faith in God.
And heavy.
Was that terrifying to look down and see? Because your hands are special.
Oh, yeah. I had my toenails painted all beautiful. Wow. And
Were you able to even move your hands at this point?
No.
So they were,
Wow.
What happens when a Christian Arab and a Christian Jew preach the gospel in the open air to Orthodox Jews in the heart of Jerusalem?
Oh, they get beaten up.
Or
spit upon.
Or they almost get turned into a falafel sandwich with a side of hummus. Ray, you know, we've told the story before about Israel, but I do have to say I am still traumatized to this day, all thanks to you. Because, look, we didn't know better, right? We go to Israel. We're on this tour, and we go, hey, let's go. Oh, let's go preach the gospel.
Well, it's our friend Dan Arnold's fault, who's now with the Lord. He caused it. You were asleep. You were knocked out. Dan says to me, let's go to Galilee and preach the gospel. I thought, whoa, I try to wake you up. And he said, what are you doing? So him and I went to Galilee, and it went really great. It was just people listened, and it was nice. And then I think Dan said, let's go to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
No.
We sauntered over there like we're going to Huntington Beach or something, you know. And everything started out just...
It was nice.
Just swell. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got a girl to interpret for you.
Mm-hmm.
You told her you'd give her like $5 or something. So she was interpreting.
And she wasn't a believer, though.
No. She was just a girl that was just there. Hey, interpret for me. It's $5. That's when $5
That was my accent.
Yeah, by the way. That's when $5 was worth a lot more money. And so so the girl starts interpreting. And it was all going great. You were doing trivia like you normally do. But I'll never forget the second you said, Jesus said, if you look at a woman, a less effort, the second you said Jesus.
No interpreter needed.
But the entire atmosphere changed. I remember that right when that happened, the girl goes, give me my money. And she took off. She didn't even finish it out.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. And so, but then, you know, I was filming. And it turned hostile. I remember the guy started looking around to see if there were any police or anything. And then that guy starts spitting on you, Ray.
Mm.
And Ray's ducking. Hey, you missed me. You're right. Bouncing up
on the prison chinks.
Excuse me, that was Mickey Mouse. That was not my
accent. You missed me. Yeah. And then the greatest part of all was Ray jumps off the box. Like, I mean, they were going to kill us. He said, I mean, it was God's grace we didn't get killed. Ray jumps off the box and he's still, did you get one of these? Yep, Roy, giving tracks out. I'm like, Ray, they're going to kill us. Wow. And it was God's grace because the Arab was going to get up and preach the gospel after Ray. And they might have sensed you had some Jewishness in you, but they would have, barbecued easy.
Did you notice any of the prison shanks? I mean, were they like...
They were probably hiding.
And we've got that on film on YouTube. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah.
But when things go wrong?
There's one, but there's a late... We did another one I can't remember
what it's called. Yeah, they kept trying to get the camera from me, remember? Because they saw me filming. Yeah, so I'm passing it, around. And so moral of the story, never go to Israel with Ray Comfort.
And the other moral story, if you're going to preach anywhere, make sure there's no stones. There was no stones there, which was just great.
Ray cleared the whole area of stones ahead of time. All right, friends. Here's a comment. This is from Willie C. K. F. J. S. I. J. S. F. I. F. These names get crazier and crazier. Love this podcast. Heard about this podcast from the YouTube channel, and now I listen every Tuesday and Thursday. Love the humor and camaraderie that you guys have. You guys always make me laugh. And whenever I've listened all the way through, I come away feeling encouraged and challenged in my walk. Keep up the good work, brothers. Also, love Easy's voice and think that he needs to audition for a character on Adventures in Odyssey. Yes,
no, I don't believe you wrote that yourself.
Like a villain.
Thank you. That encourages me to keep singing.
Villain.
Yeah. All right, friends, this podcast is brought to you by The Vault. The Vault, Ray, we haven't mentioned The Vault in a while.
During COVID, I believe.
Yeah, The Vault.
Yeah, The Vault. It's the Gospel of John, which looks like a $100 million bills stacked. I can't explain it.
Not 100 million, but 100.
At what point did
million.
You just, I'm throwing in the towel.
I can't explain it. No, it's just, it looks like a bundle of money, but it's actually the Gospel of John, and it's in a vault, and when people are going through it, there's a little card that says, don't forget to revolt.
Yeah. So it's, they're the size of a bill, and they have on them our most popular track, the graphics from the Million Dollar Bill, and they're small. They're conveniently sized, but they have the Gospel of John and a gospel message in there. Mm.
And so many people say, I don't want a Gospel of John. I say, let me just show it to you, and this, I'll take it. Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. And what's cool is it's called The Vault because the box has graphics on it. It looks like a vault. Mm. And when you get low, it has a card that says,
don't forget to revolt.
Don't forget to revolt. And then you order more and fill them up, and you keep doing that. So make sure to check it out. Friends, along with the Living Waters mug, the Evidence Study Bible, all at livingwaters.com. Wow. Keep improving, Ray.
Thank you.
Well, we miss Oscar today, of course. Oscar is not with us. He's still gallivanting out and about, but we miss him. Wish he was here. But today we have something.
Well, if he was, there'd be no room for him.
I know there wouldn't be. Put them under the table. But today, friends, we have a special episode, and you may have heard them giggling at my brilliant humor.
Well, I saw them. The facial expressions was, what's going on?
What are we doing here? Yeah, it's true. But we have with us today our brother, Mike, and our sister, Vicky Zorati. Did I say it right?
You did good.
Like Maserati. I'll never forget that.
There you go. Yeah.
Such a blessing to have you both with us. And Ray and I both first met you guys when we spoke at Compass at the Adult Bible Fellowship that's led by our brother, Kellen Allen, who is here with his wife, Chelsea. Yeah.
6 foot.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Ray's only met his knees, as we've mentioned. It was fascinating for us to just briefly hear your story there. It's a story that was so touching and moving and important that we wanted to let our audience hear it. And so, first of all, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you
for having us.
Glad
Can
to be
I
here.
Let the cat out of the bag, actually, why they're here?
Let it out.
About 6 weeks ago, I saw a very short clip of a lady in Texas who had a kidney stone with sepsis. And then they amputated her feet and her hands. And I was horrified. And as I watched it, I saw her just lying in bed. And she looks up with a smile on her face and says, I'm just praying that something like this, that if this helps someone come to Christ, then praise the Lord. Mm. And I thought, what courage. I thought, this is amazing. So I actually downloaded the video, put it in the timeline of my laptop to create a video that talked about the perfect will and the permissive will of God. God allows things to happen that are horrific, but for his purposes and always for the good of the Christian. All things work together for good to those that love God and according to his purposes. Mm. So I had that sitting on my timeline, spoke at the Compass men's study or Bible study, sorry.
ABS.
And then suddenly there's this couple in front of me and a lady shaking my hands with a prosthesis. Mm. And then you said, hi, I had my hands and my feet removed because of a kidney stone, and it was a different lady.
I saw your face.
Yeah, you did.
It was like, and I get that quite a bit.
And I thought, this has got to be God. It's going to be God's hand. But, you know, God leading us and guiding us. So that's why you're here. I thought we just got to hear your story.
Thank you.
Yeah, the timing of that was just amazing. And so, Vicky, Mike, we would love for you guys to sort of give us a summary of your life and what happened and what God has done. And then we'll go back and kind of break that down and dissect it a little bit. Mm.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
I'll start because it was my 60th birthday and we were celebrating at a family cabin up by Tahoe off of Khyber. So we're right on the river. It's a beautiful place. And it was 4th of July. My birthday's the 5th. Mm. And I was sitting in a
what
beach
year
chair.
Was this?
2018.
Okay.
So 5 years.
Yeah.
And I was teaching full time. I had just finished, I think, my 22nd, 23rd year. Mike was, you know, working full time. We had grown children at the time that Tiffany was with us with her husband vacationing. And little did I know, I had a kidney stone. I had never had one before. But my back was hurting, and I thought, well, it's got to be that beach chair. After the day was going on, it was getting worse and worse, and the kids went off to go to Tahoe for the fireworks display. I just didn't feel like going, and I put myself, you know, just on the couch, and Mike was with me, and we just kind of hung out. Do you want to go to bed now? It's 10:30. I said, not really. But when I went to bed that night, the pain shifted to the front.
Wow.
And what did you say?
Yeah, I thought it was appendix because it went from her back to her front right. And so I was like, it's 1:30 in the morning, but this sounds like maybe your appendix is rupturing.
Wow. So off we went to a little tiny hospital in Placerville, which is about a half hour away.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, good news. It's just a kidney stone. Go home and pass it. 30 hours later, I was back in that hospital. Mike can give you, I was out. I signed my name and she said, great, it's your birthday. And I said, oh, yeah, this is a bummer.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I was out. And I don't remember anything for 2 weeks.
You mean you passed out?
Basically, yeah. She became.
And they put me in a coma.
Was that from the pain?
No. My blood pressure was
50/25.
Wow. So, that's 120/80 is normal.
Right, right, right. And so, yeah. And for me, all of a sudden there was a doctor there, four nurses around, putting IVs in both arms, and I've got a healthcare background, and I was like, wow, this doesn't look good. Is this life-threatening? He said, right now, it's life-threatening.
Wow.
So, you know, immediately, from my perspective, I'm going, wow, I need to bring God into this immediately. I walked out for a second. I said, I got to pray. I got to get away from this. It was a very small thing, but it was really the basis of the beginning of the journey was this journey of prayer and depending on other people to pray and the body of Christ coming around us. And it was amazing what we saw happen from there.
Now, how long after you went into the hospital, did they tell you, was that serious? You said it was like immediate?
We love to give things away. We love to give things away. And that's why we will do that every single day here on the Living Waters podcast. That's right, friends. We're giving away goodies for those of you who go to livingwaters.com/podcast and fill out the form. We are giving 10, believe it or not, 10 different people each week goodies from Living Waters, $100 value for each box. You'll get tracts and books and a podcast mug and all kinds of good things. So make sure to participate at livingwaters.com/podcast. And make sure to listen to the very end of the podcast where you will hear the announcement of the winners every week.
Almost. I went home, and about 30 hours later, I started being delusional at the cabin, and Mike said, you know, you better answer me, or I'm going to take you right back. Something's wrong. And both our kids said, yeah, she's not acting right.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
I walked to the car by myself, got in, and they said if I had gone down just a half hour more to the trauma center in Sacramento, I wouldn't have survived. Wow. That's how quick it was.
Wow. Yeah.
So what was the uniqueness of the kidney stone? Because people get kidney stones all the time. Mm-hmm. What was it that happened that led to that? Seriousness.
It was a perfect round marble shape. Whoa. And usually urine can pass through it.
Or around it.
Yeah. This was a perfect block, and toxic, I had E. coli, was pushed back up into my kidneys, and then it spews all over the body. So it's called septic shock, severe septic shock.
Yeah.
And you don't remember any of this?
I don't remember after signing my name.
Wow, that's fortunate.
So they put you in an induced coma then?
Yes.
I take it?
Basically.
Yeah.
But tell them my situation.
Yeah, I mean, it was really serious. She had a 20% cardiac output, which, you know, normal is about 65%. She had her kidney was completely failing. So the kidney circulates behind the heart, the second most blood around the body. And so this kidney that's failing, that's heavily infected, is spewing all this infected blood all over the body. She had a clot on her liver. She had 2 liters of fluids on her lungs. So every major organ, with the exception of brain, we knew was failing. Wow. Desperately failing.
The doctors told Mike that my pH balance was not able to continue life.
What's the pH? What's the pH balance?
It's what you need in order to function. I don't know the technical term behind it, but it needs to be about about 7.45. When it gets below 7, it generally doesn't sustain life. And hers was 6.75. And even the atheist ICU doctor that had been there 30 years, he said, I haven't seen these kind of blood assays and failures in every major organ in 30 years ever. I've never seen anybody live through it. Wow. So he says, your faith must be real. I go, well, it's the same faith that you can have. You know, I mean, it's real faith. Wow. So it was really amazing, you know, to hear some of these things that these people were saying.
Wow.
So they virtually gave her no chance to live, basically.
So you're there in the hospital, Mike, and you're basically facing the reality that you're going to be a widower.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I was thinking through that whole thing of what's the funeral going to look like. I mean, literally, that was going through my mind. And at the time, you know, one thing that happened on a Friday night, on a Saturday, I said, Lord, if nobody's going to question if you decide to step in.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to question it was you. Because the doctors have no answers, and they say she's going to die. Wow. On Sunday, it got worse. And they said, okay, basically, this is, you know, out of control. We're amazed that she's still alive, but she's alive, but she's holding on by a thread. You know, the crash cart was out there.
Yeah, and then I transferred to the trauma center in Sacramento because I needed continuous dialysis, or I would have died. But they said to Mike, the trouble with that is she might not survive the transport.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
But she's going to die if she stays here. So
you had to make a decision.
Yeah. And then they made it pretty obvious for me that there was no other decision to make. She died in that hospital and soon. Wow. So yeah, and then the vascular surgeon came in on Sunday because they couldn't find a blood pressure or pulse for 12 hours. Mm-hmm. And they go in the growing area, and the vascular surgeon says, you can always find it in the growing area. I mean, it's the place where you're going to find it. Yeah. And the first vascular surgeon says, I've always been able to find a blood pressure and pulse. I can't. He says, I don't know what's happening going. And he's been an hour and a half. The next guy comes in that's on the shift. Hour and a half trying to find it, because they go in surgically into the growing area to get to that main artery, the femoral artery. And then the next guy comes in. He says, he must have been doing something wrong. The new vascular surgeon, and he can't find it in an hour and a half. So they say, it's time to say goodbye.
Wow.
And it was really at that time, it was like when the doctor said no, God said yes. You know, he stepped in at that point and said, well, wait a minute. I now that everybody's said they can't do anything for you, you're going to die. The crash cart's there. It's not a matter of if she's going to die. When she crashes, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I want to try to resuscitate her. So, but anyway, we go in and we have 15 people praying for about 3 days. And we had our whole church family and 2 or 3 other churches that we had alignment with praying, and, you know, literally thousands of people.
And family lived in town.
Right.
So that was a blessing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's 15 people praying, another thousands of people praying in other places, and, you know, is that James 5:16, the fervent prayers of the righteous, you know, availeth much. And so we saw a change. We spent an hour saying goodbye, because that's what they said we needed to do, basically, and then they left, and she didn't die. And
well, let me interrupt for a second, because when I was out, but I heard music. So they were singing hymns.
True.
My favorite hymns. Let's sing mom her favorite hymns. And I could hear it. And my family is musical. So they were in four-part harmonies, you know, and the whole hospital, the ER was, you know, could hear this ICU area. And my room, because I was the sickest at the time, the family lounge was just on the other side of my room. Mm-hmm. And I sensed tons and tons of medical equipment around me. And Mike said, you could barely fit people in, but they all crowded in, yeah. all 15 of them, and I could hear the music. Wow. So I was just like, I was belting it out in my mind, even though I couldn't talk, I couldn't speak.
It's amazing, isn't it, that you don't remember anything except that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think this is really a good place to just pause for a moment because, you know, my father just passed away a few weeks ago. And
I'm sorry to hear that.
He was, you know, he was in that kind of state where he was in a coma, basically, yeah. near the end yeah. there. And yet I was reminded of stories of people mm-hmm. saying, who did revive, saying, yeah. I was able to hear. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you're deceived. They're not responding. They're not reacting. Right. And they look like they're out of it completely. Right. But there is that.
There's
potential.
That hope. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so for me, you know, being out, I think of 1 Kings 6, where Elisha is talking to a servant boy. And the Amalekites are all around them. Mm. And he said, you know, God, open their eyes, open this little boy's eyes because you are protecting us. Mm. And all of a sudden his eyes are open and he looks on the hill and he's, wow, there's angels of fire, you know, surrounding us. Mm. We're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. Well, for me, I saw an angel tower, which was really amazing because like I said, the lounge was just on the other side. And I always thought, well, angels will escort you to heaven. These angels were not next to me at all. Hmm. They were actually on that wall. And I had the privilege of seeing what was going on. And they were praying fervently for me for 3 days on just the other side of the wall. And what I saw was the top angel was a warrior angel, and he was wielding this huge sword. And I just looked at him, and I don't even know how I saw him. It was a vision because my eyes were bandaged shut. But what I saw was he kept warding off death. I kept thinking, why isn't he ministering to me? He's not ministering to me. Mm. They're way over there. And then I saw the next angel down, and that angel was praying. And my first thought was, the prayers of the saints. Hmm. The prayers of the saints. Hmm. And that's what I felt, just this peace. Like, God is in control. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fret. I'm just here, God, you know, whenever you want to heal me, I'm fine. And I was fine if I wasn't going to go.
Wow.
And Mike even said that to my family, you know, is he any less God if he takes her or if he heals her? So follow me into the ICU.
Wow. Mark, that's pretty profound, huh?
It reminds me of that quote from John Sayle. You know, if I had the power of God, there are many things I would change. Mm-hmm. But if I had the wisdom of God, I wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah.
Beautiful. You
know, C.S. Lewis, inside of his book, The Problem of Pain, he said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our consciences, but shouts in our pains. Mm. It is his megaphone to arouse a deaf world. And it's interesting because when he says this in chapter 5, the title of this chapter where he says this is called Divine Goodness, that there is a goodness to God in what he does inside of our lives. Yeah. You know, we're familiar with Johnny Erickson Tada, you know, in her story on July 30th, 1967,
yes,
when
we are.
She
we're
dove.
Friends.
I heard that there was some connection.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she dove headfirst into the Chesapeake Bay, misjudging the shallowness of the water. And she said, we are all pilgrims who are walking on a tightrope between heaven and earth. Mm. We feel trapped in time, yet we have eternity beating in our hearts. Our unsatisfied sense of exile is not to be solved or fixed while we're here on earth. Mm. Our pain and our longings make sure that we will never be content in this world, but that's good. It is to our benefit mm-hmm. that we never grow comfortable in a world that is destined for decay.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
So powerful.
Yeah.
We had Johnny on the one of our programs mm-hmm. before, and I've just always been blown away by her dedication to the Lord. Yes. You know, I remember the first time I ever saw her, it was at a CBA, you know, Christian Booksellers Association convention. And I remember she was there next to Dr. John MacArthur, and they had written a book together, and she was signing books with a pen between her two.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
I just finished a book myself, and I wrote about that, and I talked about her in there, and just about her, just her determination to press on in the Lord. And and Ray, really, that's really the Christian life, is that determination to recognize that God is not only sovereign, but God is good. He loves his people. And if he allows suffering, he has a purpose in it.
Yeah, it's hard to explain. There's a lot of things we don't understand, but we do know that the wise man built his house on rock and the foolish man built his house on sand. And as I listen to you and what you went through, well, we haven't even got to the part with your hands and your feet, what happened with them. But how do the unsaved survive? I mean, how do they handle something like this without faith? It horrifies me to think of them being under the same storms that Christians are under and having no foundation.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, so Mike, now take us further into the story. So then she begins to rebound. They're blown away. Her blood pressure goes back up. And what happens?
Yeah, we call it Miracle Tuesday. So out of the blue, I was spending the night there. I slept in the family lounge. And like I said, we had about 15 family members and friends that were praying for 3 days. And then, of course, the body of Christ praying all over. And so out of the blue at 4 a.m, the nurse comes in and wakes me up and says, you want to be wake up if anything was going on? And I said, yeah. And he said, I don't know what's happened, but her blood pressure has returned to 120 over 60. And there's no medical reason for it. And I go, I know what happened. It was very clear. It was very clear what happened. So,
God.
You know, it was at that point, you know, we realized that, okay, this is the ninth inning. We're down by 10 runs and there are 2 outs and there are 2 strikes.
Yeah.
And God jumped in and took over the game.
Absolutely.
Right? And so we had really seen the power of prayer in this whole process. I mean, we really knew at that point that it was just God intervening, and that it was also at that point where we thought, all the seriousness we took in prayer was really critical. Mm-hmm. I mean, one thing God gave me was pray, and get people involved. The Fellowship of Believers needs to know about this, and you need to keep them in tune. So I was literally texting people and calling people and doing everything, every hour, giving them updates, what's going on. These are things we need to pray for. You know, they say her belly rubin's 28 and her liver's going to die. The liver doctor says her liver's got no chance. Well, I said, what needs to happen? He said, well, it needs to come down below 20 within a day or two. So I put out a fleece. Guys, this is what we need. This is what he says is going to die.
Right.
Within 2 days, her liver numbers are 18.
Wow.
So we had that happen over and over, and we really saw what was going on. But it was really the body supporting us and praying for us. And in fact, I've got a book that somebody in our church did. And you can see this is a 3-ring binder.
Yeah.
And these are all the communications between me and people at the church. And then she took all this and printed all of it. It just goes to show you how our church got around us. You know, Compass was amazing. And for us, that's where we thought, maybe this is why we're going through this kind of stuff. Why we're going through this is for everybody to see that this is what it is to be a Christian. Yeah. This is what it is to, you know, to follow Christ. So.
Wow.
And like Ray said, I just am amazed when I was laying there in the hospital, how I thought, how can people do this? Mm-hmm. How can people do this?
Wow.
And we'll get to my amputations in a minute, but people were just crying and screaming and yelling.
Cursing.
And
you mean patients?
Patients
were.
Yeah.
And I felt like I've got the peace of God.
Uh-huh.
But God really, I want to talk a little bit about the providential plan of God, because he knew this was going to happen since the beginning of time, right?
Yeah.
What we had, Mike had, his mom had really, really bad migraine headaches, and he was the last child and became her caregiver. Mm. So he already knew how to caregive before I needed him.
Wow.
The next thing was I was a teacher and was put in public speaking all the time. All the other teachers said, Vicky, you do it. You do it. You know, they'd be scared to death. And I'm like, oh, this is great. I get to tell my story and I get to weave in the gospel, you know, so this is great.
Wow.
And then we were just going into our 40th year of marriage. We got married. We met at 17 at a church camp.
Wow.
And then got married in our 2021. And God just led him to me, I think, because I needed him, and God knew I needed him more than anything. So we were talking about a foxhole situation. Our anniversary is May 26th, mm-hmm. and this happened on July 5th. So 6 weeks before, and we said, you know, people talk about faith, but until you go through something, you really don't know, you know?
Yeah.
So I said to Mike, what do you think it would be like if we were in a foxhole, spiritually, physically, you know, financially, whatever? We didn't even know because life was so good for us.
Yeah. So foxholes in the middle of a battle where you just got nowhere to go.
Yeah. Right. You're hunkered down and you're desperate.
Yeah.
And I asked Mike that question. I said, well, what do you think, you know, our faith would be like? And he wisely said, I don't know what our faith would be like until we get there.
Wow.
And we were there 6 weeks later in this foxhole. And so God knew that. And Tiffany, our daughter, Tiffany Washburn, she became an OT, an occupational therapist. What did I need the most? An occupational therapist.
Wow.
And so God just, you know.
That's amazing, continues. You know, how he works all that out. And I think about eternity, you know, when we'll be able to see so many other details that we couldn't even perceive, you know.
Right.
Okay, so then, Vicky, you wake up and what were you thinking?
I see my hands. First of all, I can't move. Yeah. I have a trach. I can barely move my head like this. So they're caring for me in the hospital, in ICU. Yeah. I was in ICU for 35 days.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And then, so I was in four different hospitals. I was transferred from that little community hospital to Sacramento Trauma Center, 63-bed ICU. So it was huge.
Yeah.
So I had the top of the top doctors. But a nurse said to Mike, get her home. Like, get her home, which is Orange County. And this was up in Sacramento area.
Mm-hmm.
So I transferred in a huge ambulance for 9 hours all the way down. And I said, could you please put your sirens on so I can get And they said, are you an infant? I said, well, I will be if you want me to be.
I'll identify as anything at this point.
And they said, you're not in trauma. But anyway, I was the only place that I could get to was Westminster. And it was this tiny little hospital. And I thought, God, why am I here? Why am I here? But little did I know God was behind the scene. Every single one of my doctors, my surgeons, were coming out of that hospital. And they were teaching professors in the area. So I had the top of the top.
Wow.
Amazing. And I was only there for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Now, was this before or after the amputation?
This was before.
Okay.
So I saw my hands. When I woke up, I saw my hands were gray.
And that's kind of a story in itself, because I had told the doctors and nurses that, like, this is something a husband needs to tell a wife. A doctor doesn't need to tell my wife that she's going to lose her hands and feet.
Yeah.
So the vascular surgeon had told me this. The head of the ICU, I had several doctors confirm this. So we've been praying about that. I mean, I had people praying for her mental health, a lot about her mental health. Because I mean, how would you feel if you were waking up and you find out, hey, guess what? You lived, but you're going to lose your hands and feet. I couldn't imagine. So the day I was told that, this is how our God shows up in amazing ways, that she was going to lose her hands and feet. I remember walking out of the hospital, I was crying, as I think most people would. My wife's going to lose her hands and feet.
Yeah.
And I got back to Vicky's sister's house where I was sleeping that night. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, I generally woke up, or God would wake me up, and I would pray for 10 or 15 minutes and I'd go back to sleep. Well, this night, our great God gave me this dream. And my dream was, made it all clear. You know, what was this ordained by God? I mean, you kind of struggle, what's going on here? And the dream was, we were in the grocery store. And Vicky was there, and there's a long line. And this lady was looking at her hands, because she could visibly see these hands.
Yeah.
And Vicky said, do you want to hear my story? And she said, yes. And Vicky told her story and then gave the gospel. And I went, bingo. This is not about the here and now. It's about the then and there. This is eternal. It's not about what's going on today. And from that point forward, he set me straight. I mean, I was all in. Wow. I was all in that this was by God, ordained by God, kind of the Johnny Erickson Tata, you know, comment that sometimes God permits those things that he hates and uses them to accomplish those things that he loves, right? And I went, wow. I mean, but that's our God, you know? Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
So, Vicky, what was it like for you when you heard the news?
Well, it was funny because I felt like God just had given me so much peace beforehand. And Mike was worried about my mental health, of course, you know, telling someone that they're going to lose their hands and feet. But I said to him, you know, well, I guess what you're telling me is it's a miracle that I'm alive. Mm. So God did this amazing feat.
Yeah.
But I guess my miracle, my ministry will be that I won't have hands and feet.
Wow.
And
I looked at her like an alien. I went, did you know what I just said? Yeah, it's one of those kind of things.
Wow.
And I go, and I said, mere flesh and blood did I give that to you. Much like Jesus said to Peter when he said, who are you? And he says, you know, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, mere flesh and blood did I give that to you. Because it was just so bizarre, right?
Yeah,
you know, it reminds me of the words of Nancy DeMoss. She said, an evidence that our will has been broken is that we begin to thank God for that which once seemed so bitter, knowing that his will is good and that in his time and in his ways, he is able to make the most bitter waters sweet.
Wow.
It seems to be just a little bit of missing information here. So the blood didn't go to your hands and feet. They gave you drugs that...
I was on 5 pressors just to keep the blood flowing.
What's a presser?
Epinephrine is a...
You probably heard of epinephrine. It's a vasopressor. It's designed to raise your blood pressure. Okay. Because her blood pressure is so dangerous, she was going to code.
So
they're just trying to keep her alive.
Okay. Yeah.
So they don't worry about my arms and legs because they're trying to... My heart was at 20%. And so it needed all the help it could get.
So they probably suspected that was going to be the result.
They did.
Most people die when they get sepsis. Mm-hmm. And the sepsis protocols are so advanced now that I think if this would happen to me even maybe 10 years ago, I wouldn't have survived.
Over 50% of the deaths in hospitals historically have been septic shock.
Yeah.
Going into sepsis.
It's an infection.
It's an infection that just ravages your body uncontrollably and you have no real defense. But you lose all the flow of blood to your hands and feet because all the blood's kept in your major organs to keep those major organs alive. Yeah. Remember, your heart's only working at 20%, so very little blood's flowing. And hence, it's kind of like having frostbite.
They were black. Wow. By the time I got to Orange County, they were black.
Wow.
So that necrotic tissue.
Was that? I mean, your faith in
and
God.
And heavy.
Was that terrifying to look down and see? Because your hands are special.
Oh, yeah. I had my toenails painted all beautiful.
Were you able to even move your hands at this point?
No.
So they were, Okay, so Vicky, so then Mike gives you this news. You respond in this, I still can't
it's
believe
God
it type
thing.
Of way.
Yeah, it's a God thing.
And then the amputation happens, you come out of surgery, you have no hands, no feet. What was that like?
No, I have to tell you the story the night before.
Yeah.
Because this is very powerful. So my son David, my son-in-law Mike, and Mike would always be reading to me from the Bible because I couldn't move. And they would read the miracles of Jesus. And because I was a walking miracle.
Yeah.
And I remember just bathing in those. Mm. Just like this is unbelievable. So the night before amputations, it was the long weekend in September of 2018. And the very next morning, I was going to be prepped at 6:30. Our church family, my family, there were 60-some people downstairs, and they said they had never heard this. But the night before, when everyone had left and I was on my own, that's when the peace of God is just so powerful. And I still remember it to this day. So hearing the miracles, I said, Jesus, it's not too late. You can heal me right now. Please heal me. And I was crying. And I thought, God, I just need you so much. And as my tears are flowing, my heart said, "No, that's not what I have for you." And I stopped and I was very quiet before my Lord. And I said, "God, I can't do this without you." And all of a sudden, in my mind, goes to Hebrews 11. And it's all the faith, the faithful of the gospel. They didn't even know the gospel because Jesus wasn't even there yet. But Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And he said, "You will be one of these. You will have to walk by faith." And I cried some more. And I said, "Okay, God, but I can't do this without your strength. I am so weak. I cannot even turn over in bed. I can't even move my head. To get cleaned up, I have to tap this button by my ear." And all of a sudden, our gracious God gives me a vision again. And we've all seen it. This little girl dancing on her daddy's feet at a wedding. She's all dressed up. She's dancing on her daddy's feet. And Jesus said, "I will be your hands and feet. Don't worry about this. I've got this." And I peacefully went off to sleep. And I said, "Okay, God's got this."
And then when she came out the next morning, they're rolling her out. And we've prayed, and there's been people that are praying and everything. And, yeah. And they roll her on out. There's people there waiting for her to come through the double doors. And she could barely move, had enough strength of her arms are like in concrete. She raises her arm up like she's Rocky or something, like she's going to succeed at something. I go, "Honey, you're getting your arms and legs amputated. You know, you realize what the today is." And I went, "Wow, okay, that is peace. You know, that's just amazing peace."
Wow, that's amazing. And so you get through that. What was it like coming out of surgery?
Horribly. Horrible pain. Yeah. Wow. Pain like no one's ever felt.
Yeah.
Staples all around both. Both my legs, I'm called a quadrilateral amputee. So my legs are at the same exact point, mid-calf. And then my arm, this one, they were able to save my elbows, which was huge.
Oh, wow.
And I talked the doctors into doing all four at the same time.
Oh, really?
They were not going to do it. They did not want to do it. You know, it was a pride thing. And so I said, please do it for me because I want to be put out once, get the pain over with and move on because this is going to be painful.
Yeah.
My leg surgeon decided to start unwrapping it, 24 hours after surgery? Yeah. My arm doctor didn't. Mm. He said, "Well, if it's infected, we know by your blood work."
Yeah.
And so pain was excruciating. And I loved what Mike said. He was so funny. So they started to unwrap my legs, and I was not fully medicated yet. And so it was like jumping through the roof. I was going to bounce off that bed. Oh. And Mike said, "Stop. Stop what you're doing. Stop." And this older doctor looked and said, "Well, what do you think? Are you the doctor today?" And Mike goes, "Today I am."
I'm not doing this.
And so he goes,
"I've never seen her like that.
You need to medicate her better." So that was... And I thought, well, yay, my husband's there with me.
Your courage just so humbles me.
Mm.
You know, I'm just amazed at your attitude and your courage and your faith in God.
Mm. Only,
you know, if I stub my toe, it's the end of the world.
Yeah, so you get past all of that, and we'd love to hear now about what the Lord has done in your life and through your life since that point.
Well, I'll tell you about phantom pain because I have these prosthetics that are just unbelievable.
Yeah,
and I can spin it, which is unbelievable.
Okay, I'm jealous right now. I wish I could put my hand at that angle. So for those of you obviously listening, you can't see it,
but I'm spinning my left hand and that's how I can eat. I put a fork in. I co-contract, which is all up muscles in my forearm that are still there.
Yeah.
I can count my fingers.
Wow.
I can feel my old fingers, wow, which is amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
So you're able to open and close.
But then I co-contract, and then if I open now and hold it open with a wrist open, then I can go to a pincher and pick things up. And
wow.
So you put your makeup on in the morning.
Yes.
I put my makeup on. I can toilet. The only thing I can't do is get them wet.
Wow.
So I can't do dishes. I can't water the plants.
That's right. I told her she did 99% before. It's my turn to do 99%.
Wow.
But I have to share with you the phantom pain story because God is so good. Mike went to take a shower one day. We're home by this time in our new home. It's probably about 6 months after. I have my legs at the time, but I don't have my arms. Mm. And I'm laying in bed waiting for Mike to get out of the shower. And the pain in my hands are excruciating. So you have pain in something you no longer have.
Yeah.
But it's because of all the ligaments that they took and all the wiring, I call it the wiring.
Yeah.
But what it is the pain. I even feel it now, just a buzzing all the time. My brain has gotten used to it.
This is severe pain.
This is severe pain. Like, 0 to 10, this is off the charts, like 11 or 12. And somebody asked me, my brother asked me, what does it feel like? And I said, take a gun and shoot your fingers off. That's the intense pain that I was feeling at that time. And I started to cry again. And I said, God, this is unbearable. I'm on these pain medications, but this is insane. Mm. And I started to kind of tear up. And the love of Jesus went through my heart. And he goes, where are you feeling this? My hands and feet. And he said, what did I do for you?
Wow.
On the cross, my hands and my feet took those powerful nails that were driven in my hands. And guess what? I know what you're going through.
Wow.
And I just humbly started praying and praising God that he took my sin away on the cross.
Wow.
And I thought, thank you, God, that I am a very few people get to experience a glimpse of what he did on the cross. Oh,
wow, that's so powerful. You know, Mark, oftentimes people don't consider that, you know, pausing for a moment to identify with the sufferings of Christ on our behalf, to get just a brief glimpse, right, into what he endured. And for him, not just the physical pain, but bearing the sins of humanity.
Yeah, you know, and it serves a purpose for us, doesn't it? You know, I read a quote from E. Stanley Jones. He said, don't bear trouble, use it. Take whatever happens, justice and injustice, pleasure and pain, compliment and criticism. Take it up into the purpose of your life and make something out of it. Turn it into a testimony. Don't explain evil. Exploit evil. Make it serve you. Just as the lotus flower reaches down and takes up the mud and the mire into the purposes of its life and produces the lotus flower out of them, so you are to take whatever happens and make something out of it. Slightly different from Sinclair Ferguson here, where he says, do I learn through dark providences or simply seem relieved when they're over? Here is a living testimony, right? Because there's no getting out of it.
No.
Right.
The trial's not over. Easy and I, we have our friend Ray as well, who has cancer. And she says, you know, I don't wish cancer upon anyone. But the effects of cancer and what it's done to me, I wish upon everyone. Because it's at that moment you recognize in the fire that Christ is with you. And since you have to go through the fire, you might as well dance.
Amen. Exactly. Wow. Yeah. And you know, that's so contrary to the false modern day prosperity gospel, that tells you real Christians should never suffer. Mm-hmm. And that's just so false, you know, when you look at scripture. I mean, in Acts 14:22, it says, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Amen.
Wow. You know, the scripture is full of these things. I mean, 1 Peter 4:19, therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Philippians 1:29, for to you it has been granted on his behalf, on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. And so, so I'm sure that has been eye-opening to you personally, like realizing, wait a minute, no, we're in a fallen, broken world, so there's going to be suffering, right? The sun rises and sets and the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But in the midst of it, God can work for his glory.
Well, it's funny because you just said that. I have gotten calls from all different people all over the country. I have a friend now, and she is in Wisconsin. She heard me on a different podcast, and she said, I've got to talk to Vicki. Her story is my story. And she is exactly 2 years behind me. And I know God has allowed this to happen to Mike and I because he's going to use it. We don't want it to be in vain. And now, just this week, I found out there's a lady up in Roseville, California, lost her hands and feet. So I'm like, bring it on. I just want to minister to them.
Still rare. It's like 1 in 3 million people, from what I can find statistically, that this happens to. But
so God is using it.
You want to speak in conferences and in churches?
Yes.
So how can people get hold of you?
Well, I have a website, VickiZerotti.com.
That's a hard one. Can you spell your...
V-I-C-K-I-Z as in zebra, O-R-A-D-I.com. I have an 8-minute video that Compass Bible Church did when happened. Very powerful. Yeah. So if anyone is ever in need of just seeing my story in person, or I'm sorry, on video, go to VickiZerotti.com. And then because of COVID, I was able to kind of write this down in a book called Tested by Fire, Fueled by Faith.
Love that title.
And I love cars. I love cars. And I used to be really mean at a stick shift. But anyway, so you can get that on Amazon.
Yeah. Well, we really want to encourage our our friends to check that out. And you know, I was thinking of our sister Johnny again, and and I'm sure you're familiar with this quote. When she had cancer on top of her quadriplegia, she said, cancer is such a wake-up call to remind us how high the cosmic stakes really are and how short and brief and frail life really is.
Yes. Wow.
And that was just so powerful. She said, life becomes inspiring, not in spite of the problems and the hard hits, but because of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, and this one here, she said, my weakness, that is my quadriplegia, is my greatest asset because it forces me into the arms of Christ every single morning when I get up.
Yeah.
And that's...
I can testify to that for
Vicki. Mike puts my arms and legs on every single morning, first thing when I get up.
Wow. And it makes you depend on the Lord and cry out to him. And
Johnny's
him.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You know, Johnny, my brother knew Johnny, and so I got an introduction to her when this happened. And so Vicki had lunch with her, and she was just fantastic, and they've become friends and whatnot. But she said one thing. Vicki said, what do I do with this?
What do I do?
What do I do with this? And she goes, Vicki, you tell your story, and you let God do the rest. You weave the gospel in, you weave in the word of God, and let God do the rest.
Amen.
And he will.
Yeah.
And he's
and it was a great advice. And she's been an amazing person.
So we speak at her disability camps.
Oh, it's wonderful.
So fabulous.
What's your website again for people who...
VickiZerotti.com.
Yeah. VickiZerotti.
Yeah. Well, friends, make sure to check that out. What a delight it's been to have you both here. I wish we had hours because I know there are so many more details to your story. But we've been inspired today. I know our listeners have been as well. And thank you. Thank you for shining for Christ.
Oh,
thank you for living for his glory, because at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
Amen.
And one day in the resurrection, we're going to have new bodies.
Yes.
Ray's is going to be 6'6" with a hairy chest.
That's right. He's going to take on Kellen, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to take on.
Oh, pat him on the head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Johnny said Vicky and Harold take runs on the
head. Yeah, we're going to run on the head.
They're going to run really fast.
That's great. Yeah. On that day, the Lord will make us whole more than we could even dream of. And so we wait and look forward to that day. So thanks again for joining us.
Can I just leave my Gmail?
Please.
It's vzerati@gmail.com.
Yeah.
If somebody is listening right now that needs instant help, you can reach me that way.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, make sure to reach out to Vicky. And thank you, friends, for listening. We want to encourage you to continue to press on in Christ and to follow this example. You know, oftentimes we make excuses as to why we can't share the gospel with others. Our sister Vicky has shown us that we really have no excuses. Mm. So let's let the Lord work in and through us for his glory. Thanks for joining
Praise
us.
God.
We'll see you here next time on the Living Waters podcast. You thought we forgot. No, no, we didn't, friends. This week's podcast winners. We've got Elizabeth from Elk River, Minnesota, Kathy from Libby, Montana, Rebecca from Homestead, Florida, Elias from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Lilac from Blaine, Washington, Michelle from Daytona Beach, Florida, Kimberly from Lowell, Arkansas, Tarina from Dursley, United Kingdom, and last but definitely not least, Margaret from Brussels, Canada. Yes, you are getting the stuff. It's coming, but don't keep it. Give it away, friends.